Hey, what's up, and welcome into Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago, and of course, Gabe Neitzel, our buddy. Well, he thought that Backlash was in Puerto Rico, so he's packed his bags and he's going there, realizing once he gets there, Backlash is not in Puerto Rico. It switched to Tampa.
He's going to miss out on Danhausen's mystery partner because he went to the wrong place.
He is our resident R-Truth, missing the right spot to be at for a wrestling show. Nonetheless, you can always join me on Sundays on SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 on Channel 156 and on the SiriusXM app as I bring GKW over to SiriusXM from 9 to noon Eastern on Sunday mornings. Well, we got a lot to talk about, but first we'd like to remind you to please like, share, subscribe, and comment to everything we do on YouTube, youtube.com. Look for Good Karma Wrestling. We are growing as a channel because of you, so we want to thank you so much for hanging in there with us and checking out our shorts, our long-form conversations, and also our fun that we have every single Thursday right here on Good Karma Wrestling.
Yeah, you might have seen us in Spanish this week. You might have seen us in Arabic this week, a few other languages. We are worldwide this week, thanks to the wonderful guests that we've had join us.
So we always appreciate you. Make sure you pass along the great shows that we bring every Thursday on Good Karma Wrestling on YouTube and where we get your podcasts. We always have some big topics, and we got a couple of special guests that's going to be with us. Still to come here, we'll hear from Bobby Lashley. We love first-time evers on Good Karma Wrestling. First time ever talking to Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, and hopefully not the last. Like, that was an amazing conversation with Lashley, and I'll say it now because he's not in the room. I've never really been a fan of Lashley. He won me over in this interview.
Oh, how about that? an admission there. I'll be glad to call Lashley after this and let him know what you said. He's not going to do anything to you because he just hurts people. It's fine. Nonetheless, we also will hear from the head man from AEW, Tony Khan, a regular guest here on Good Karma Wrestling, getting his thoughts on what's going on with the company. And they got a big show taking place in your neck of the woods in West Palm.
Yeah, Fairway to Hell this weekend at AEWTix.com at the SoFi Center, the home of TGL, which you watch on ESPN and ESPN2 with Tiger Woods and Rory and all those guys, is going to house AEW this weekend. So creative, out-of-the-box idea. I'm curious to see what it looks like.
It's kind of what they do. Smaller venues, theaters. They've done a lot of different things just to get people in the building. So we'll hear from Tony Khan later on in our show as well. But first, we always got a big ticket item to talk about. What's the big story to start off Good Karma Wrestling?
It was the talk of our group chat this weekend. Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods, no longer a part of the WWE. They have both since confirmed that on social media. Does look like they'll have the 90-day compete, no, non-compete. What was your reaction to the New Day being released?
Well, every time we talk about releases on Good Karma Wrestling, Brian, the thing I always think about is how much money WWE is making. I always look at
record
wrestling
numbers, they told us.
Well, yeah. I mean, I see it on social media now, like how much that management has made over the last year for TKO. I'm like, well, some of that money can't be allocated to the talent. We're into wrestling because of the talent and not because of who works, behind the scenes in TKO or who works behind the scenes in WWE. I always look at wrestling how we look at sports, right? WWE has a connection because they have Raw and they got SmackDown. They have NXT, they have Evolve, and they have a relationship with AAA, and they have the ID program. My thought is that there's some talent, maybe not the New Day, but there's other talent, especially NXT, that can go someplace else and be able to apply their craft without having to cut them off the roster. Jason Mateo is one of those guys as well. Why is our buddy Jeff Cobb, no longer part of WWE? Why is Tongaloa not part of WWE? You could move them to AAA, but that's not what they do. They're just cutting salaries, but yet everyone else is putting money in their pocket behind the scenes. I always think it's wrong, but it continues to be wrong, I think, for WWE.
Jeff Cobb was in the company for less than a year. Jeff Cobb is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and I believe the number was like 3 or 4 singles matches we saw him have. Like, I understand they're not a pro wrestling company. And yes, from the human element, and you see the reaction on social media from people that are still working there, this hurts that locker room. This hurts the morale because those are leaders. Those are guys that you thought would always be there. And we've talked about it before. The term WWE lifer does not exist anymore because this isn't the WWE. This is TKO. Mm-hmm. They want to be like the UFC where the brand, the shield, like we hear in the NFL, is bigger than any one person. And I don't know if that works as well in the WWE. Like in the UFC, we've seen the buzz is not what it was 5-10 years ago when you had a Ronda, when you had a McGregor, when you had a John Bones Jones. Like, to me, who's not even a UFC fan, I'll watch maybe once a year if that. Who's the name that jumps off? Like, no one really, the UFC. And they probably look at it like, hey, we have Roman, we have Cody, we have Punk. The rest doesn't matter. But honestly, because of that, this week is a huge win for AEW. We talked about it last month when TNA pulled their stuff, when they were pulling guys off indie shows, and AEW said, no, no, you can have Ricochet. You can have our guys. Go do it. This is a huge win for them. This is awesome that we have competition. This isn't WWE of 20 years ago where New Day gets released and you're like, oh, we're never going to see them again, or they have to go to TNA because TNA is not even an option anymore. The fact that we're going to probably get a Young Bucks New Day match in the same ring, as a wrestling fan, I freaking love. But it does suck from a people standpoint, and I'm curious to see how it affects negotiating moving forward with some of these guys and girls.
Yeah, I mean, the New Day was a surprise, and that was a negotiation where they wanted them to kind of pare back their salary, and New Day says, no, we've been here for a while. We put a lot of money into the company, so we're just going to part ways. The other ones were just straight-up cuts right from Jeff Cobb and also Tongaloa. But there's others that we talked about as well that got released as well. It is a win for other companies and also a win for the indies. There's something to be said, Brian, about WWE talent that's been in that WWE bubble for a long time. Like we had Consequences Creed in TNA before he comes over to WWE, right? So we had Kofi Kingston that came through the WWE system. Well, a number of those guys have been in WWE so long, they've never had the grassroots feeling of actually going across and talking to people one-on-one. These guys might make the indies as well and have their own merch table and put the money in their back pocket. They go to some of these cities, and it's different than being the WWE bubble where you can only spend 10 seconds with fans, and then they move you along, and then another 10 seconds where you have a picture. Now, some of these guys can go to the indies and be able to meet their fans face-to-face, spend time with them, get their money, get your merchandise sold out there. So, you know, the best thing for a New Day is it could be AEW, but also it could be a touch of the indies first, which is awesome for them.
Yeah, and to think about what it means for those indie locker rooms. Like, if you're a talent and you get to pick the brain of a Kofi Kingston or an Xavier Woods that have been at the high of the highs, that their Kofi mania existed because of Kofi, you get to pick their brain now. And yes, the wrestling mind is, all right, well, who else can be freed one day? Like, you know, I'm partial to Sami Zayn. I'd love to see him free and go back to AEW and do things like that. Kevin Owens. I don't think the term lifer exists anymore. And at this point, would you even rule out a Cody or a Punk one day being back in AEW?
I think that Cody will return to AEW at some point. I do see that. Punk probably not because, well, I mean, if we know Phil Brooks, he holds a grudge.
Yes.
Yes, he holds a grudge.
But 2-3 years ago, you wouldn't have said he'd be back in WWE, and here he is.
Yeah, I think
paychecks.
I can see Cody because of the Rhodes family. The Rhodes family does not necessarily settle into one place very long. I mean, like, look. I mean, Dustin Rhodes had a really good run in WWE, but at some point he did go back to WCW, as you well know, after starting there in WCW with his dad. Even Dusty Rhodes, you know, polka dots and then came back to WCW. So, I mean, I feel like Cody would return at some point. Got to mend some fences there. But, you know, I just want to wish the best for the New Day because, listen, there's no tag days for them. They're financially secure with their family. They made plenty of money in WWE. But I just I'm wondering what's next for them. Yeah. I really do, because think about Kofi Mania, Brian, how strong that was. Like, you didn't think that Kofi Kingston could be World Heavyweight Champion, but dreams come true, right? Because people have been put on social media, Vince McMahon telling Kofi, you're a B-plus player, you'll never be World Heavyweight Champion, and it was a great story told, and he wins the championship. Xavier Woods, well, again, a guy that was fortunate enough to be along with Big E on a gimmick that sucked when it first came out. It was Vince McMahon on a chair in the locker room saying, here's where I want you to be. I want you to be a black preacher, and I want you to clap your hands, and I want you to have rhythm when you do it. Like, he's teaching those guys rhythm, because that makes sense. And so, remember, they were booted out of the building because they were white meat baby faces, and they turned a negative into a positive to the point where they got bootios, and they got all this merchandise and rainbows and unicorns. So, shout out to them. They had a tremendous career in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, they were selling Bootios at the mall. Like, you can go to the store and buy Bootios. Like, that was a thing. And you talk about WWE and the moments and the story. Like, their heel turn was a moment. Like, it was the WWE huge moment of a lifetime. And then they know how to follow it up. And they end up with, you know, Grayson Waller and things like that. But they really made this into something. And I think it's funny when you see the reaction of people that work there currently, that there could be repercussions, but they're still going to put on social, damn, this sucks. Damn, I'm going to miss Kofi, going to miss Woods, things like that. So it's just jarring to see like that. But I'm excited to see them go out there and do their thing and let them wrestle. You talk about tag team wrestling. That doesn't exist in the WWE. No. It exists in AEW. And at Wembley, if the Bucks and the New Day and the Motor City Machine Guns and things like that and FTR and Edge and Christian, they could all be in one ring in one match. Like, that's freaking exciting.
That is exciting. That is. And a lot of veterans out there that in that same ring. I mean, you got a possibility for some dream matches there that we didn't think we'd ever get. And actually, we have seen the New Day against the Young Bucks. Up, up, down, down.
Okay, on video game, yes.
Somehow, some way, that was allowed by WWE for those guys. And by the way, Xavier Woods with the whole video game thing, that's his. He owns that.
Does
up,
he?
Up, down, down. Yes, he does.
Conflicting things on that.
No, he has the control of that thing, that up, up, down, down.
Okay. So we can continue that.
So, I mean, I think that that's pretty cool, that he's got his own thing and he could be able to, have the opportunity maybe one day for him and Kofi Kingston to take on the Young Bucks. I think that would be awesome. That'd be fun. All right. What else do we have, sir? Because we got three big items here on Good Karma Wrestling.
So in the ring in Tampa Saturday night, WWE Backlash, a 5-match card starting 6 o'clock on ESPN2. The main event, Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu for the World Heavyweight title. Danhausen and a mystery partner take on The Miz and Kit Wilson. Trick Williams defends the U.S. title against Sami Zayn. Io Sky takes on Asuka, and Seth Rollins takes on Bron Breakker. What will be the biggest story out of Backlash?
Very few matches. That's the big story. Yes, very, very unfulfilling is Backlash. This John Cena thing, I don't know what that announcement is.
Yeah.
It better go over well, because I don't think just John Cena in retirement wants to look bad. Because they're like, well, Triple H can't do it. Well, let's look around. John, do you have time? John, can you come in? Well, whatever it is, it sounds like more VIP nonsense. This maybe meet and greet WWE club stuff. That's how it feels with John Cena returning. Because I was thinking, wait, you're retired. You've only showed up twice now.
Yeah, this will be his third night. He did both nights of Mania, and now here he comes back.
Oh, that's right. Both nights of Mania.
Yeah.
And now Backlash. Yes. very strange. I don't know why that is the case. So, the biggest story out of Backlash, I can't give you, the biggest story. I feel like maybe there's a story that will spawn from this, but that's not what you pay for, whether you're watching at home or if you're in Tampa. You're not there to see a story. That's what Raw and SmackDown are for.
Right.
So, is there an angle that I'm missing that will happen after the Roman-Jacob Fatu match?
I mean, whoever Roman's next opponent, maybe Oba gets involved there. Because from a wrestling standpoint, and this is us giving them the benefit of the doubt and saying, hey, maybe you'll let them wrestle. Gabe and I talked about last week. This might be better than night one of Mania. With Rollins and Braun, with Io and Asuka, Roman and Fatu. From a wrestling standpoint, this might be better than WrestleMania night one. Assuming they get time.
Well, that's the whole key of it, right?
Yeah.
If there's more commercials or as many commercials as action, that just doesn't work, man. Doesn't work.
So from a story standpoint, like, the only thing I'm sort of into right now because of rumors is the Roman stuff. Like, reportedly he was asked to take a little bit of a pay cut. Then all of a sudden the next day he's advertised for all of June, and then he's not advertised for all of June. So does the world exist where maybe Jacob Fatu is world champion and we get Fatu and Oba at SummerSlam? Like, that'd be cool.
Can I just tell you something? Let me tell you something. If after all of this fanfare of Roman Reigns against CM Punk, Roman wins the championship, and then the next moment he loses against Jacob Fatu in Tampa, can I just tell you something? Holy AEW. Can I just tell you that right now? Like, I think we're not in the Attitude Era where we've got to continue to hot potato the world championship. Now, here's the thing, though, what you just laid out. If Jacob Fatu wins, and like, I just think that that's a big leap. I mean, that's something for Obafemi. Like, that's something deserved for him at SummerSlam. He should be world champion. But here's, nonetheless, here's the thing. If it is the case that Roman Reigns loses the championship, then I think you hit on it. That's a TKO decision where it's like, oh, you'll cut my pay? So I'm back to being a part-time wrestler. Even though Roman said after he won the championship, I'm not doing this part-time thing anymore. You're going to see me show up every week on Raw. Like, all right, cool. And I saw what you saw, not available in June. If he loses the championship, then we know the reason.
Yeah, and that's an issue. And Fatu, it's well-deserved. Like, Fatu should have been in a title match at Mania. Him and Drew should have been the title match. I think that would have been a better story. And this is, I'm not going to call it a sink or swim, but this is a huge moment for Fatu. Being in the main event, being in there with Roman, we know he can go. And if he can shine, I think that's a huge opportunity to say, all right, we've got another young star. And we'll use the word young loosely here, but a newer star in Jacob Fatu. So I'm hoping that he's able to come through in that and say, all right, we got something here the same way we got something in Oba.
Yeah, he looks like a new star, but he uses the Just for Men just like Roman. just you see that in the beard, don't you?
Yeah.
A little Just for Men there.
How old is he?
You know what I mean? He's in his 40s, isn't he?
Is he that old? Let's see what Google said. 34.
He's 34.
Yeah, so that's young for them.
He's like some of these baseball players we watch. I don't think that age is accurate. I do not believe he's just 34. Do you know what kind of life that man has lived?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
Okay, for 34, he's lived a lot.
Yes.
There's some jail time in there. There's a lot of kids, like 34.
7 kids.
I don't think that number's accurate, but that's okay. It's all right. It's all right.
He's still a new star in the WWE world.
He's a new star, right?
Yes.
Old star in MLW, but a new star in WWE.
He's moved on. So that's the thing. And so the first two matches, we're going to get Rollins and Braun and Sami and Trick on ESPN2. Everything else will be on the ESPN app. You got a mystery partner gimmick with Danhausen? Like,
yes, I do.
That might be fun. Maybe.
That is CM Punk.
Oh, it's Punk. That's how you get him on the card?
Well, I mean, listen.
Pepsi Phil?
Yeah, like he puts on the face paint and he has a little fun. Okay. That's a night off for him. Would you like to see CM Punk with Danhausen? I mean, listen, there's some people in our company that take Danhausen seriously. Mm-hmm. Like he should be world heavyweight champion, as you well know. Because I'm getting the text messages from Evan Cohen all the time. Oh, I was supposed to say the name. But if I'm Evan Cohen all the time from Unsportsmanlike, and of course the Norman Lear of Good Karma Wrestling here. I'm getting text messages from this guy all the time about Danhausen. And so for him to be on this card and for him to not be part of the ESPN side, but the pay-per-view side, like that match can't go more than 10 minutes. It's a joke match, is it not?
And as of now, he's on a card that CM Punk and Cody Rhodes aren't even on. And neither of your women's champions are on.
I'm assuming that this is going to be CM Punk or someone of distinction, something that's a big surprise. But why not?
Punk could be good. I'm still waiting for TKO to tell Cena he's not retired and he ends up out there with face paint because you got the interaction at Mania, so he can hit an FU on Miz and call it a night.
Let me tell you something. If Cena comes back out there, the George, if he comes out there and does anything physical, then it's like, well, what are we talking about here? He says he retired.
It'll be different. It's fine.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous at this point. I don't know why he's not on ESPN. Could you imagine being in Tampa for this? It's 5 matches. The first two have, because of commercials, it can't be the long haul. Now, here's the thing. For WrestleMania, Brian, I thought that night 2 on ESPN was very solid.
Yeah, it was great. Because that was the ladder match and Drew and Fatu, right?
Yeah. Very good.
Fun. Yep.
That's what they say in the business. They move the spots down so you can get more time for the wrestling. I think that's what happened there. They moved the commercial log so you got more. That first night of WrestleMania, not very good. But I'm just bewildered about why we have just 5 matches on Backlash. I understand that from Triple H's standpoint, that less is more. But in this case, that's not true.
Right.
More is more.
Right.
There's a happy balance between AEW giving you 3 plates of food at the end of the night after you've had a full meal. There's a difference between that and then giving you tapas.
Right.
And that's what this is. This is just little morsels of food. I know this pisses you off, Brian, when you when you go to some great restaurant down there in Florida and they're just giving you just a little taste, little morsels of food and say, voila, this is a delicacy.
did a fondue place for my wife's birthday a couple weeks ago. I ate dinner beforehand. They're like, I don't want to just eat a bite at a time. Like, give me a full plate of food. What are we doing here? Like, awful.
See?
Like, your women's division. Like, Liv is the champion. Rhea's the champion.
Yeah.
You got nothing for them? Like, Cody, I guess you could chalk up that he's not healthy, and that's why he's not there. Punk, probably much of the same. But, like, why neither of your women's champions out there?
Well, it surprised me that he was out there against Ricky Saints. I don't know about you. I thought the eye.
Had that match. Yeah.
I thought the eye still wasn't healed. And I was like, you're wrestling tonight?
Right.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right.
I just don't understand what they're doing. And from a moment standpoint, I'm sure you'll create something. You'll have the fun Danhausen moment. It is getting to be a little too much Danhausen, just saying. But like the main event, like I guess you'll have a great match and then bloodline interference. And I don't know where they go.
It is Jacob forming his own, I guess, group. But I don't know that all happens at Backlash, though.
Right.
Like, there's people that are anti-Roman, you know, Kevin Owens. Is he part of that? I don't know.
Because Roman is the heel in this. The way Roman is acting is a heel. Like, hey, you're beneath me. Hey, I'm better than you. He's acting like a heel. Fatu is just, hey, I want to do this for my family. I want to get up there. Like, he's the babyface in this. But yet everyone's still cheering Roman.
Are you sure that's the case? Did you watch Ron Omaha? Like everything that he said, they hung every word. This is something I've been talking about, by the way, on Busted Open, and I'm talking to you about it here.
Yeah.
About like who's the babyface, who's the heel in this? Because the crowd, people were behind Roman, and again, we lay the story out. Roman is the champion. Right. Jacob Fatu says, "I want that watch. Right. Hey, you know what I mean? I want that shoe deal. I want to have this for my kids and all that stuff." To me, that sounds like a heel want to take from the champion. But I don't know if that's how the fans feel.
Family perspective. Like, he's not doing, like, I'm going to take it. It's like, hey, I want better for my family. I want the private jets. I want the money, things like that. Like, it's basically what we have with Roman and Punk. We're like, who are we cheering for? Like, why is everyone in the gray area? And it feels like it's what we're getting again.
I don't know. I see this tongue in death grip, and that's a heel move.
That is, yes.
Like, is it not? I mean...
After this, the path is Roman and Oba for SummerSlam, then we start booing Roman? Or is just everyone a babyface in that company and there are no heels?
Well, Roman's a cool heel.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you. Like, he has, it's funny. It's the same Roman. He has not changed.
At all.
People love it, though.
Yeah.
People love it. When he took on CM Punk, what happened? It was that they both had cheers.
Uh-huh.
It's just a weird thing here. Like, Jacob to be in this position right now to go for the world championship, I don't expect him to win the championship, but even after Backlash, I don't know what's next for either one of these guys.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's just a weird spot that they're in.
And it's, you know, with what is happening with Seth Rollins in his matchup against Bron Breakker, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
Seth Rollins is getting a beating. He's getting a beating from Bron Breakker a lot. But I love the fight of Seth Rollins. He's a guy there that's by himself. He's got no friends. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have, you know, the guys that have been away for a while and Dawkins and Ford. And they're not even his friends. So it's an interesting dynamic right now.
I do want to see Bron sort of take that next step. Like, to me, that Raw Netflix main event with Punk is still in my head, which was sort of underwhelming. Mm-hmm. This is another opportunity with a guy like Rollins that you could put in there with a broomstick and he's going to give you 5 stars. I want to see Bron live up to that and take that next step.
All right. So the biggest story out of Backlash, we will see.
Right.
Still to be determined.
A great Cena announcement. Hey, we made money.
It's going to be something along those lines. He tweeted, it's not perfect. But it's going to be an announcement nonetheless.
So is he already deflecting? Is he already trying to get ahead of it? Like, hey, not my fault. They made me do this.
I think that's exactly what it is. But here's a guy here they're going to talk to, Brian, that has been on the scene in wrestling for a long time. Mm-hmm. We don't take this guy for granted, but we just know that he's a guy that's on a mission, I think, for something even bigger in 2026.
Yeah, and it's someone that also, like, you talk about the AEW locker room a lot, and we criticize veterans a lot for taking up airtime, but Lashley seems to be one of those guys that is enjoying being there, is helping everyone, and we had an awesome conversation with Bobby Lashley ahead of AEW's Farewell to Hell this weekend in Palm Beach Gardens. Welcome back in, GKW. Brian Rowitz alongside Jay Hood and AEW making its way to South Florida, not in a normal venue, but at the SoFi Center, the home of TGL, the home of virtual golf. AEW Fairway to Hell this weekend. And join us now to talk about it. It is Bobby Lashley. You look at this venue. I talked about it with Tony Khan last week. It's a unique one. I don't know how much you've watched TGL, Bobby, but you're going to be on the putting green. You're going to be on the driving range. When you see some of these venues, what is your reaction when you hear stuff like this?
Man, you know what? I have some friends that are around that area, and they said that the venue is actually a really cool venue. It's unique, but it's cool. And that's cool. We don't care. You could put a ring out in the middle of a parking lot of a Walmart. It doesn't really matter. It's all about going out there and having a good show. And that's what we do. We produce amazing shows. And I know that place is going to be sold out, so we're going to have to get a bigger venue next time. So let's go do it. Let's do it.
Bobby, what do you think of the state of the company right now? You guys are big on TNT and TBS and HBO Max. What do you think of what's happening with the company right now in 2026?
I think there's a lot of things going on. I think a lot of good things going on. I think the wrestling business is in a really good place across the board. There's a lot of friendly competition. And I say friendly competition because there's no room for ego or attitude or negativity. Because at the end of the day, we want to produce the best shows for the fans. And the fans had a little bit of everything. You can go in a whole bunch of different places because we're offering different products. Okay. So I think that right now, I think the wrestling fans can kind of tune on almost any day of the week and see some great wrestling. So I think it's good for everyone right now.
You've been a part of this business. When it comes to that healthy competition, how much does it help everyone in the business to have these options?
It helps out a lot, but it helps out a lot when the guys understand that it's healthy competition, you know, because it's not negative. Like there's a lot of guys that I know and I'm still friends with from other organizations that I've been in, and I've been in multiple organizations. So I always want to see the best for those guys. And those guys too, they watch what I'm doing and they're like, man, we love seeing you over there having a good time, still being able to take care of your family and have and enjoying this wrestling business. So I think that competition is good because if the competition is not there, then the wrestling business owns what you can watch. But when the competition is there, the fans own what they can watch. The fans, if they want to see wrestling, they can go and tune in to AEW and see some of the greatest wrestlers in the world. If they want to see storylines, if they want to see anything, you can tune into any program and see that. So it just gives an opportunity for wrestling fans to kind of pick and choose what they want to watch. Or they can just watch it all and then have a good time with it because there's great wrestlers everywhere you go.
Bobby, you've carved out yourself a Hall of Fame career as a solo performer, but working with Shelton Benjamin, MVP, what's that like to know that you're with your boys and to be able to be with so much other veteran talent around you at all times?
We hurt people. It's a good time, man. It's a good time. When we come out from that curtain and the crowd just starts chanting, "We hurt people," man, I'm like, this is what I love. This is what I enjoy. You know, you gotta understand, from a fan's perspective, the wrestlers are like huge fans ourselves. So when we come out, man, I absolutely love seeing the fans. I can't even hold it in sometimes. I'm coming out of the curtain. I'm supposed to be pissed off, wanting to beat somebody up, but I'm looking around at the fans and the energy that they bring when they're chanting. We heard people, man, a big smile gets some on my face, and my heart starts pumping, and I start feeling good. And then right now, I'm in the greatest place that I can ever be in. I mean, I'm training, and I'm actually, when I say training, I have Shelton Benjamin as my workout partner right now, so we're putting in some serious work. But we're going out there, and I'm making good money with my friends, MVP and Shelton Benjamin, two of the greatest guys in the wrestling business. And we get to go out and we get to extend our careers for this long time. It's just great. But then at the same time, we get to give back also. With AEW, when I went over to AEW originally, there were some names that kind of I heard before going in, but then now that I've been in there, I see these guys and I'm like, damn, these guys are really, really good. And that's what we try to tell the fans. You know, you have an opportunity to come out and see AEW wrestling. It's going to open up your mind to just huge possibilities. We have a champ right now, Darby Allin. Some people may not have seen wrestle before, but if you watch this guy wrestle, you're like, damn, instantly a fan. I always talk really highly on Will Ospreay. I think the guy is friggin' amazing. Then you got arguably one of the greatest wrestlers ever in Kenny Omega right over there. And then you have like Swerve Strickland. You have so many great wrestlers over at AEW. So I think us coming over there and having an opportunity to work with some of these guys, I mean, it's just icing on the cake. It's across the board. We're putting out a great product, and I think fans are going to be really excited to watch it.
How does that blend of talent in the locker room make AEW the success they are today? When they have veterans like you and Shelton to lend an ear to, but then you have some of the young guys that are doing different things like a Darby or an Ospreay, how does that make AEW so successful?
That's what wrestling's about, man. Wrestling's about respect from the business. And so, like, we came and we have a whole different style of what's going on right now. When I came in the business, things were different. But now society has changed. So wrestling has changed. So you see some of the different matches than you saw before. So I think that's where the beauty is, because when we can put these together, bring the old school mentality with kind of the new school mentality, it gives you that variety. So you get to watch the show and you can say, oh, I like this. And then somebody sitting next to you may not like that part, but they're going to watch the next match and they say, I like this. It's about variety. It's about different flavors of ice cream. And because we have two different flavors, we can put it together and have a show and feed more people because of it.
How do you keep the youthful look, man? I asked Kenny King that question. He says cocoa butter. He keeps it in. So, I mean, I bet you know, but how is it that you look the same, if not better, than you did 20 years ago? What's the secret?
Consistency, man. It's just consistency. Black don't crack. there's a lot of different things, but man, I love the journey, and that's what when I used to amateur wrestle, I won so many titles, so many awards and everything like that, but those awards, I don't even have any of those anymore. I remember the miles that I was running, the extra workouts that I was having to push myself through, training under some of the greatest trainers in the entire world and just picking their brain and learning how to make the body better. I've done that for so many years that right now it's just kind of staying consistent with and doing the same things that I did for the past 20 years, you know, the early morning workouts, the eating right, the workouts. And I think when I started talking about that, some people say, oh, I don't want to do that because that seems like work. It's not work when you actually fall in love with some of the things that you're doing and doing things that you enjoy doing. Some people, when they want to get in shape, they go to the gym and they walk around there. They say, I don't even want to do this. You don't have to go in there, hammer out weights all the time. You can find what makes you happy and do that, whether it's boxing, whether it's jujitsu, whether it's bowling. I don't give a damn what it is. You got to do something to make your body better every day, and that's what I try to do.
You've been involved in storylines in your career that I think are still talked about. It's still a lot of like, wait, that actually happened in a wrestling ring. What's the one that still sticks out to you? You look back and like, why did I do that? Why did I say yes to that one?
Man, if I went down the line, man, it'd be about 100 different storylines that it was like, what was going on then? You know, and at the same time, I understand why I was putting those in those roles. Like I did the deal where I was married, where me and Lana that everybody, was talking about, we went through the wedding and everything like that. And I think that was, and actually I was told they wanted to put me in there because they wanted me to just relax. Because a lot of the people backstage knew me as Bobby. And the crowd looks at me as this opposing figure that ready to beat people up and tear people apart. Well, Vince at the time, he was saying, I want people to see more of you. I want you to feel uncomfortable so that you can just feel comfortable being uncomfortable. And you have to do those storylines on TV so that you can be able to do that. Let somebody in to you, which you want to keep protected because you don't want to be criticized. But sometimes you just got to open up the floodgates and let everybody in on you. And right now, that's what I've been doing. I've been just letting people in on me. You can see me. I don't mind being me. I can still beat people up.
Yeah.
But I'm the nicest guy you ever meet.
Bobby, you've done so much in your career. And so what else is it that you want to accomplish?
I've won a world title in TNA. I've won a world title in WWE. Now I'm in AEW.
Mm. That makes sense.
Next. Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I think the fans see it. I mean, whenever you put a title on someone else, the fans are looking like, oh man, I really like that title. And then somebody says Bobby Lashley, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, you got Bobby Lashley on the roster. Like, why isn't he winning the world title? Timing. Right now, I'm having the greatest time of my life, and that's being a tag team with Shelton Benjamin. It's about being trios with Shelton and MVP. Like, that's where I want to be in my career right now. And then when the time's right, when the landscape opens up, when it gives me an opportunity to go in there, I'd like to go after that world title. Because ultimately, in my career, before I retire, to say that I've won world titles in every organization that I've been in would be a huge accomplishment.
You know, the AEW tag division has been basically in the headlines all week because everyone's fantasy booking some new tag teams coming to AEW. We saw it on social media yesterday, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, free agents now. When you see news like that as friends of the business, what's your reaction to it?
Oh, man. It's one of those things where it's like, that was a fumble. Mm-hmm. That was a fumble. Bro, you retire those guys. You take those guys to the end and give them whatever they want, because they've given the business everything. I don't think there's a person in the business that says, hey, man, I don't like those guys, or those guys treated me wrong, or those guys weren't good to me. There's no one. And we saw that one time before when somebody else got released. Right. When somebody else got released, they had to bring him back because they were like, oh, this is a bad move. Well, this is a horrible move also. But it could be a great move for someone else, you know. So at the end of the day, we might see some different mix-ups, and the tag team division might come really, really, really strong and interesting in AEW. And if so, a tremendous amount of fans will go over there because they'll start kind of saying, what's going on? Isn't this business built on respect? And if you have respect for the business, you have respect for the people in the business. And these guys should have a lot of respect in business. So what's going on?
So, Bobby, you can feel that momentum and that shift, right, since you've been in AEW, the way the fans come out to be able to support the company. What is that feeling like from your standpoint? You're in the back, you're in the ring. Do you feel that momentum shift toward AEW in a big way?
When you say shift, are you saying shift away from something else or just shift to AEW?
Shifting toward AEW.
I think the shift is just – it's just we're building a stronger fan base. That's all it is. I don't think anybody's really running saying, oh, I'm turning off the channel here and I'm going over here. They're just saying, hey, this is another opportunity. This is another show. Like if you go on Netflix and you're really invested into one series, you can't say, well, I don't want to watch this series anymore because I want to watch this series. You can actually say, I really like this series, but I like this series also. You know, so I think the shift is just coming with fans just getting to know AEW and saying, damn, this is a really good program and I really enjoy watching it. Not to take anything away from anybody else. It's just saying this product by itself is a great product and I choose to watch it. And I see that happening because we're producing and we're having great shows every week. Every week is just getting better and better and better. You know, we're highlighting different people right now. Darby Allin is the champion. We are highlighting him and telling everybody, hey, we want you to get to know this guy because this guy has something, he's something special. And I think the fans are like, man, he is something special. And there's so many guys in AEW that Tony's saying, hey, I want you guys to look at this guy because this guy is special. And everybody that we do, the crowd say, man, damn, we really like that guy. Like when Hangman became champion, Hangman was a great champion. People were like, damn, I really like that guy. You know, and then there's so many guys that you put in that position that they built their stardom off of AEW. Swerve Strickland blew up when he came over here. So I think that's what AEW is doing, is showing that we do have some great wrestling. And I think that the crowd is starting to understand that, but they're starting to actually get to know the wrestlers behind the great wrestling. And that's what's keeping them and growing the organization.
AEWTIX.com, AEW's Fairway to Hell, comes to the SoFi Center Saturday in Palm Beach Gardens. The home of TGL becomes the home of AEW. This might be the most unique venue you've ever wrestled at. What is currently holding that top spot? What is the most unique place you've ever had a match before?
Boy, damn. I don't even know. There's been so many different venues. I can't pick just one. That's always hard for me. I'm never going to give you a clear answer when you say the best, because I don't think that there's a certain thing that is the best. Because, you know, when we went to Saudi Arabia, they had an amazing venue. Then you got Madison Square Garden. You have Allegiant Stadium. You have so many different, like Ford Field. You have so many different great venues that I can't just pick one. They're all fantastic.
You've been in some armories too, though, Bobby.
Oh yeah, in some flea markets. So I'm sure you've been to some places.
Tell us about that cold shower.
I was always a superstar. But I've been in carnivals. I've been in gymnasiums. I've been in everything, and I loved every one of them.
My first indie experience was watching MVP at a rodeo. So, you know, your guys have been through it. You've been through it. It's what wrestling is. But this Saturday, the SoFi Center, the home of TGL, becomes the home of AEW for AEW Fairway to Hell. Bobby, appreciate the time and best of luck with everything moving forward.
Always, man. I appreciate your time.
Let me tell you something. Really enjoyed that conversation with Bobby Lashley. I was telling you that when I think about Bobby Lashley, the way he was dressed, the way he spoke to us, what a great representation for AEW. That's how you do it. Here's a veteran that understands, I'm going to dress well. And also, he put himself over, and you're supposed to do in those interviews. You got to bring yourself. But also, at the same time, he put the company over.
Right.
And I love that for Lashley, that is a fan of what is happening in AEW. Not just working there, but a fan of the workers, the men and women that are busting their ass in AEW. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I think they respect the business. The last couple of years in Vegas, I've seen him, MVP, and Shelton at indie shows. Like, they're just there walking around. It's like, hey, this is fun. Let me take this in. Like, they respect the business. I think, like you said, not taken for granted, but I think we forget how long Lashley has been doing this. Like, yeah. It has been a long time. And even that other WWE run was only a few years ago, but he's made an impact in AEW. He talks about being world champion. I think that's something that's definitely doable, but he's in a good spot. He's helping that locker room. And AEW is in a good spot right now. And I think it's WWE related, but it's also because of the good stuff AEW is putting on TV every week.
And he's still locked in facially at like 35.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Like, the internet says he is over a decade older than Jacob Fatu.
Yes.
Like, how does that make sense?
Because we've been watching him on our TV for over almost 25 years, haven't we? We've been seeing him on TV for a long time. It's Bobby Lashley, and he hurts people. And he's looking at some point to be the world heavyweight champion in this company.
July 16th, that man turns 50, Bobby Lashley.
That's incredible. Like, what? That's incredible. I got him by 2 years, and I look nothing like Bobby Lashley. He says black don't crack. That's incredible. That might be the case, but it also stretches.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I would know that. That's for sure. It may not crack, but it certainly stretches. Don't forget to comment on everything we're doing here on Good Karma Wrestling. Please like, share, subscribe, and comment to us on YouTube, youtube.com, Good Karma Wrestling. Not only did we get a chance to talk to, I thought, again, a great representative for AEW and Bobby Lashley, but you had a one-on-one with the headman for AEW who made his return to Good Karma Wrestling.
Yeah, the boss man, he very much generous with his time, gave us the time, talked about everything going well in AEW, again, ahead of Fairway to Hell this weekend. It's our conversation with Tony Khan.
And they're on HBO Max.
Welcome on in, Good Karma Wrestling. Brian Rowitz with you, and AEW is making its way to South Florida and doing it in a pretty innovative way, coming to the SoFi Center, the home of TGL, next Saturday, May 9th, for a special edition of AEW Collision. Spent plenty of time at TGL, seen some great innovative golf. Never thought I would see a pro wrestling show there. So how does something like this come to be as CEO Tony Khan joins us here?
Well, I'm very excited to bring AEW All Elite Wrestling to West Palm this weekend. This Saturday is going to be a great event. You can watch it live on TBS, or you can come see it in person at SoFi. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. We've been talking to the TGL and the PGA about collaborating with AEW, and it came together to put on AEW Fairway to Hell this Saturday. It's going to be an awesome show. You don't want to miss it. There's still tickets available for the show, or you can watch it. It's on in TBS. You can stream it on HBO Max. You can watch it on cable, on TBS, or satellite. YouTube TV, however you watch TBS, and it's on in 150 countries all over the world. The eyes of the wrestling world and now the golf world are going to be on AEW All Elite Wrestling, and we're bringing you Fairway to Hell. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I hope to continue this event and incorporate a charity golf tournament, Fairway to Heaven, the other piece of it.
What is the reaction backstage in the discussion like when you can suggest an arena or a hockey arena or a convention center, but when you suggest something outside the box like this, and you guys have run shows on cruise ships before, what's the reaction internally when you had that discussion?
Oh, everyone was really excited. This has been a great collaboration. It's been great working with the TGL and the PGA. Now that my good friend Brian Rolapp's taken over the PGA, a lot of great things happening there. And I'm excited to have AEW All Elite Wrestling come to West Palm this Saturday and team up with the world of golf, which I love so much, and I love wrestling, so this is going to be a lot of fun.
We had the talk this week when it comes to AEW about how MJF is the wrestler of the year in 2026, and there probably isn't a close second. With everything that Max does for this company, how important is he to the growth of AEW, and what's working with him right now?
Well, MJF's been phenomenal. I think he's very much in the contention for wrestler of the year. You also have to look at Darby Allin, the world champion, the man who took the world title from MJF. He's putting together a heck of a case for himself right now at the top of the wrestling world. And we have so many great stars in AEW, but MJF is absolutely a huge, huge part of AEW, a huge star. Very fittingly, with Fairway to Hell, MJF was one of the stars of Happy Gilmore 2. He played Happy Gilmore's son. I think he was the most prominent of the sons in the movie and had the most violent temper like Happy Gilmore in the movie. So I really think Max has done so many great things in the world of wrestling and outside the world of wrestling. He's a great star for AEW. He has been a great world champion, but now the guy who took the world title from him, Darby Allin, he's on fire. He's making a case for himself as the wrestler of the year, and he is the wrestler who is on top of the sport right now and doing great things. He's had some great defenses of the championship now against Tommaso Ciampa and Brody King, Big Bad Brody. What great matches Darby Allin's had. And he beat a great champion, MJF, for the title. And now we have a great world champion with Darby Allin.
When it comes to that Darby moment, it was the talk of the wrestling world despite everything else going on. What did it mean to the company to have one of those day one guys get his first world title in Darby Allin?
It's a great thought. You know, since before the very first episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite, Darby Allin has been with AEW since our first year. And he challenged for that world title in the first world title match ever on Wednesday Night Dynamite. He was the challenger. He has been a great TNT champion. He's been a great world tag team champion with his mentor, Sting. They formed an undefeated team that was the most successful tag team in the history of AEW and one of the most successful teams ever, undefeated throughout their run. And Sting retired as Darby Allin's tag team partner, undefeated in AEW and as the world tag team champions. But Darby himself, as a singles wrestler, had never been the world champion until now. And he is on fire, doing great, great things, having great matches, a great representative for the sport, the first man in pro wrestling history ever to climb Mount Everest. He's done so many amazing things, and he's a daredevil outside the ring and around the ring and inside the ring. Darby Allin's a very special champion, and it meant a lot for him to win the world title from a great champion, MJF.
We talked about that moment, and it was almost Foley-esque, going back to the 90s, going to the Monday Night Wars, in terms of what it meant, that sort of underdog story. When you look at your locker room, who else is there on the men and women's side that you're already looking ahead, you're already excited about that first world title win and what it's going to mean to your company?
Well, we've got a great TNT champion right now, the Jet Kevin Knight. The Jet Kevin Knight is phenomenal, and he's going to be taking on Darby Allin for the world title this Wednesday night on Dynamite. That you can watch Dynamite every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on TBS, and we'll be coming to you live this Saturday on TBS also. But before we come to West Palm this Saturday for Fairway to Hell, we've got a big Wednesday night Dynamite. And TNT champion Kevin Knight is a rising star, and he will be wrestling Darby Allin for the world title. I think Kevin Knight, the Jet, has everything it takes to be the world champion. Also talking about top wrestlers that are future world champions, we've got a great TBS champion, Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale has defended the TBS championship. She's been a world tag team champion. She's never won the world title. And I do think Willow Nightingale is a great potential world champion for AEW. There are a lot of great names that have not held that title yet. When you look at the women of pro wrestling and the men of pro wrestling, there are so many great young stars that have what it takes to be a top champion. And that's what's great about All Elite Wrestling. AEW is where the best wrestle. We've got the best group of wrestlers in the world, I think. And I'm really, really excited about what's to come. And this event, the Fairway to Hell, you're going to see so many of the top stars, young stars and veterans, coming to you at West Palm for SoFi, the first ever AEW Fairway to Hell. And you can still get your tickets for the show. The tickets are at AEWTIX.com, AEWTIX.com. They're going fast. And if you can't be there live, you got to watch it this Saturday on TBS. We're on every Saturday, and we also have great shows every Wednesday on TBS. We're on HBO Max. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great event.
We've spent plenty of nights at TGL watching Innovative Golf, now Pro Wrestling, Saturday, May 9th. You mentioned Kevin Knight. We've seen the way he's exploded onto the scene over the last year or so. You have someone like Kyle Fletcher. When these young stars have it, how early do you know when you look at them and say, okay, this is something we can build around in a year or two?
It is a great question. I think it depends on the situation. You know, some wrestlers come in with so much potential. Other wrestlers, they break out and rise to the top of the pack. And it can be a slow climb in their development. They're human beings, and they develop differently. Just like in sports, you can see the potential in an athlete, and a lot of times they grow, they develop faster than anybody might expect. So it really depends, but we do have such a great group of wrestlers. They have great traits and great makeup that lead us to believe we have a locker room full of stars and future stars.
You always talk about locker room morale. It's something you've always mentioned. You talk about how high the company is. And obviously, there's going to be stuff out there that's true and not true. But everything we hear right now is that morale is at an all-time high. What is going right for AEW right now in 2026?
The viewership is tremendous of the shows. We have fans watching AEW every week. Great support. And that is awesome. We have fans coming into the arenas that are loud and proud wrestling fans watching AEW every week. That always gets the wrestlers even more excited when there's a big crowd of loud and supportive fans cheering them on, or in some cases, some wrestlers feed off the rage of the crowd, some villains in the world of pro wrestling. But having great fans live at the shows and having great viewership on TV and adding HBO Max now and all the shows being there, we're really excited about what's happening with Warner Brothers. There's really exciting developments there, I think. The future is very bright for AEW and Warner Brothers and what is to come. I'm very excited with the news about Paramount. I have really great relationships there, and I am also a big believer in what they do. I think the leadership of David Ellison is something that will be very good for everybody involved here. I've had really great experiences with David Ellison. I think he's a brilliant filmmaker and a brilliant person, and also NFL Films. With Skydance Sports, he has built a great partnership with NFL Films. And so I'm very excited for the future for AEW and everything happening at Warner Brothers.
So speaking on that, what's it mean to you on a personal level when you have these companies willing to invest in AEW, willing to take the chance of, hey, we want to put you on Max, we want to give you more hours, we want to put AEW pay-per-views. What's that mean to you on a personal level to see the growth of this company?
It means a lot. You know, when we started at AEW, we were on every Wednesday night. And Wednesday Night Dynamite is still running, and it's the longest running primetime pro wrestling show in the history of TBS and TNT. And every Wednesday night, you can count on a great Wednesday Night Dynamite. And we've expanded and grown. In recent years, we added Saturday Night Collision, which is coming to you this Saturday. It's going to be a great show. And then we've also added a great streaming partner with HBO Max. So all the old episodes of the shows, the library, These are available to watch on HBO Max. You can stream them, but also our pay-per-views are live on HBO Max now. We've got all these great partners all over the world, and to have HBO Max, our primary media partner here in America, carrying the shows live now, that is something that has really only happened in recent months, and it's going so well. We've had our last couple pay-per-views have been the biggest ones yet on HBO Max, which is really exciting. This past show, Dynasty, we had our most pay-per-view buys yet for a Dynasty show ever, the most tickets we've ever sold for Dynasty. Double or Nothing is coming up in May, Memorial Day weekend. Tickets are going fast. We think that's going to be one of our biggest shows ever. And AEW's on a great roll right now. So it's perfect timing for us to come to you in West Palm and have a big week of a Wednesday night Dynamite. We'll be up in Charleston this Wednesday for Dynamite. And then coming down to West Palm Beach, Florida for AEW Fairway to Hell Collision this Saturday.
AEWTIX.com for your tickets. Last couple of things here with AEW CEO Tony Khan. The wrestling world was in Vegas a few weeks ago. There was AEW sprinkled throughout. The Demand, Jet Speed, working their matches. Now it's an all eyes seem to be on AEW for 2027. There might be a hole that typically another company is taking, but everyone's saying, hey, we want AEW to be that company. We want them to say, hey, wrestling world, come here in this one spot. When you hear that, what is your reaction?
Well, we have great fans all over the world. AEW has set attendance records all across the planet. We have sold over 81,000 tickets for AEW All In at Wembley Stadium in London. We've had great support, whether we've traveled internationally to Canada, Mexico, all across America. And it means a lot to have the support of the fans all over the country, wherever we go. There's so many great wrestling fans in this great nation. And wherever AEW goes, there's always wrestling fans. That's one of the things that's great about wrestling. It's the only sport that goes 52 weeks a year with no off season. There's no time off. The wrestlers and the staff, they work so hard. And the fans are the most loyal because they watch their sport year-round, 52 weeks a year. And AEW is where the best wrestle. So to have fans all over the world clamoring for All Elite Wrestling, they want to see it live and in person, they want more shows, more events, it means a lot. I'm really happy about that. And this has been a great year for AEW, and we're going to keep it going when I see you this Saturday.
Social media, I think, sometimes more negative than positive, but social media might lead to Kevin Nealon and Danny DeVito in an All Elite Wrestling ring. When you see a tweet like that, what's going to come of it, and will we see a Kevin Nealon is All Elite graphic coming soon?
Kevin Nealon, I do think, will be All Elite. Okay. Danny DeVito, I don't know if Danny DeVito's got the guts. Danny DeVito is running from Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon wants to be in AEW, and I really like Kevin Nealon. I'm a fan of Kevin Nealon and Danny DeVito. They're both brilliant guys, and we'd love to have them both here in AEW, but the only one that seems to have the guts is Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon's got a lot of intestinal fortitude and courage. He wants to step into AEW, and we'd love to have both of them, Kevin Nealon and Danny DeVito.
Saturday, May 9th, the SoFi Center, the home of TGL, becomes the home of All Elite Wrestling for a special AEW Collision Fairway to Hell. Tony, thank you so much for the time. We'll see you in South Florida in a week.
Thank you. I'll see you soon.
I guess the big question is, you know, what is the future of their television deal? Because of their dealing with, with TNT and TBS, Paramount. Mm-hmm. Is that something he's got to be concerned with, HBO Max? So I think for AEW fans, they're just wondering, will they continue to have their television rights moving forward throughout the years?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about it. Like, they continue to give them extra hours of television. They're doing, you know, every other week it feels like there's a special. I'm not too concerned about that. Thing I was excited, talking about first-time world champions off of Darby winning, mentioning Kevin Knight, who we've seen pushed a lot and doing amazing things. But Willow still has not won that women's title. I still think that's the next big AEW moment. I know we were mixed on Darby winning it. When Willow becomes world champion, that's going to be a hell of an AEW moment.
Well, you know, I'll be celebrating.
Yes, of course. You should be. Everyone should be.
Because I am a huge Willow Nightingale fan.
Yes.
I was blushing when she was on last time with us because she was so thoughtful. I'm like, oh, my God, she's so positive. That woman. Oh, my God. I just think that's, if not the top, one of the top baby faces, not just in AEW, but all of wrestling.
Completely agree.
I mean, her turn as a heel would be devastating to the industry. If she turned that smile and those cheeks, talking about her facial cheeks, if she turned those cheeks into a frown, Brian, that would be a major problem because she's so positive. She should be one of the top earners in merch.
Yes.
If they got merch, and that's an issue for AEW. They need more merch for her.
She should be out there doing all the media stuff. She should be front and center for that company. Like, she's a hell of a representative.
Yeah, so two great conversations. Yeah. Make sure that you pass these along to your wrestling friends, Bobby Lashley and also Tony Khan, part of Good Karma Wrestling. Well, we'll be keeping you abreast of what's happening at Backlash. We'll give you a report on that, and it'll be a brief report because the show's brief. So we'll give you a brief report. That'll be in our shorts, I'm sure, section.
Yep.
Because it's not the 5 or 6 hour marathon we're used to. It's going to be, I'm sure there'll be some storylines and some great action coming from Tampa, Florida.
And at 6 p.m. Eastern start, so you'll be done pretty early.
Yes, the early dinner will be ready to go on Saturday night. So for Brian Rowitz, this is Jonathan Hood. Thank you so much. Continue to support us on Good Karma Wrestling. And please leave your comments on the things that we've talked about in the interviews we had right here on GKW. So long, everybody, from the Sunshine State in the land of Lincoln.